Hello and welcome to Slay Sunday. I'm your host, Louise Hazel, and joining me this week, we have rapper, singer and reality TV star. He's one of the stars from MTV's The Challenge, Champs versus Stars. It's Jose Fernandez Flores. Jose is going to be spilling the tea on everything that went down in this season, season three of Champs versus Stars. There are going to be shots fired. Jose, so The Champs versus Stars season three. Oh my goodness. How did the guys reach out to you? How did MTV reach out to you?
I was reached out through an agent that's been working with MTV for a very, very long time. And my name was just brought up on the table. And they were like, hey, we want Jose. We want the drama.
And did you know about the show previously until
I knew about the show from season two.
Got you.
So I didn't get to watch your season. But I heard
you
so much.
Out.
Oh, I know I missed out. But I heard so much about your season. I heard about like how you were the assassin and you just murdered everyone and they couldn't take you.
I'm not going to
so
lie.
So I was like, I'm not going to lie. So I was like, you know what? I got to give this a shot. Mm-hmm. Man, Miss Louise, now she's a killer.
Got you. So you watched season two. So, and also you'd come from that background of Big Brother. So were you primed for the level of political gameplay that ensued?
Well, the thing is that when it comes to reality shows like this, like strategic game shows that you have to really use your brain and kind of maneuver in and out, Big Brother kind of prepared me for that, you know? Being in the challenge, Chance for Stars, it was like, you know, I have people that actually do the gameplay and use strategic things and lie. But at the same time, I come from that. So I'm going to lie. I'm going to backstab if I have to. And I'm going to get to where I need to get to if I can stay in this game. Like, that's the whole point of the game.
Oh, my God. We're going to come to that.
This is not best friends race.
For real. Hello? No, it's not. It's not at all. How soon into the game did you realize that there was this political element? Did you know from watching season two or, you know, was it as soon as you were thrown in? What's the deal?
See, I've been watching actually Real World and, Gauntlet and all that stuff since I was like wee young. And seeing CT and Wes and stuff, I'm like, no. I said, you know what? As soon as I step into this room, game's on.
Oh, the
moment they say shake my hand, game's on.
Okay.
So I wasn't fooled by their like, you know, oh, nonchalant way. I'm, you know, hi, how are you? No, no.
So you were dealt the card of being on the red team. So you had Devin, you had CT, you had Shane, you had Salita, Brooke, Little Mama, Ashley and Kayla.
Right.
And obviously Kayla. You lost, you know, the red team lost Arian Foster from the get-go. So it put you guys from the straight out the gate on the back foot.
Right, right.
And how did that feel like? Like, what were you guys thinking at that moment?
Well, in my mind, I'm like, shit, I got to do something to ensure at least that I'm safe. You know, because if people start getting plucked off left and right, then what am I going to do? Right now, you know, the stars are kind of outnumbered in this red team. And we have at least we have allies on the blue team that can help me out. So I have to work out some way where I can get the blue team to help me out and ensure my safety.
So for the record, who are you cutting deals with, if anybody at all?
Well,
and you can be candid.
Well, I had bits and conversations with you.
Yeah.
You know, I never really talked game that much with Casper. But then, you know, me, Little Mama, and Drake, and Booby as well. Like, the whole thing with Cam, for example.
Right.
Like, Cam's eviction, I actually, in the water challenge, what was the name of the challenge? The shuffle...
Your shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard.
I forget what it was, but the shuffleboard
after we were finished, I pulled Booby aside. I'm like, look, this is a girl's elimination week. We got to get Cam out now. Like, I know that's your girl, but we got to get Cam out. Even though I ended up liking her at the end.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like, for my gameplay, she has to go.
Right.
Because it was her and Kayla like this.
Got you.
I was like, one of them have to leave.
Got
so
you.
I knew that Booby was that one that has to make it. And then when you finally pushed it on and there you go, Booby made his decision.
And how did it feel like? Because obviously, you know, as we see later on in the show, the blue team really stick together. But that cohesiveness was almost, it was like, I felt there were times when the red team was kind of just falling apart. And then when there were times when they were appearing to be a team. Were you ever on board with the team? What was the deal?
Well, the thing was this. We came into this game as stars, all of us. And because we got split into two separate teams, blue and red, and it ended up getting becoming like a little tricky, like to work together. But at the same time, I kept on telling everyone, don't be fooled we are still stars, but because like Brooke and everybody else weren't used to a reality show or gameplay like that, they were thinking that the champs were like, oh yeah, we're best friends, let's play. And I'm just like, no, we're not. No, don't listen to these. And that's why I had to detach myself and started doing my own moves behind people's backs. And that's why they started getting angry with me. At the same time, I had to protect myself. If you're not going to play the game how the game needs to be played, I got to do my shit.
For real. And I remember there was a conversation. This probably wasn't shown on camera, but you know, behind the scenes, there was very much out the gate where, you know, I'm trying to maneuver my team to get them to see this is the show is champs versus star.
Right, right.
And I can remember there was a certain element of distrust on your side. Not on your side. Well, I don't know. I felt like maybe perhaps you yourself and Salita just weren't that sure about me as a character. You didn't know enough about me. You knew that I'd obviously play. Talk me through it. I want
to
know.
So at a point, because I remember like pulling you aside and talking to you at the shuffleboard game too. Right. Remember? And then you were just like, no, it's going to be fine. Trust me. This is what we have to do. But then again, I was just like, I don't know. Because from the champ side, they were kind of putting it out there like, you know, Louise. And I'm like, what about Louise? But Louise is with us. They're like, no, not really.
So do you think that was coming from them?
It was coming more from the champs, but seeing me being in that game and letting my guard down and kind of getting blinded, I couldn't fully 100%, but 95% trust you. But I was like, she's good, but like, I don't know. Why would they be saying that if she's really not?
And who was saying it? Spill that tea, Jose.
I don't quite remember, but I know it was more like, you know, Wes and those people. Let's put Wes and those people.
Yeah, because obviously Wes and I have this friendship, which is out there. So I can totally see how that can be perceived as an alliance. So when, you know, I guess it started to kind of emerge the fact that, you know, our team were tight. The Blues, right. We were sticking together. And was there a point on the red team where you guys realized, oh, actually, they're playing the game right, you know?
Yeah. Well, I always knew.
And what point was that?
From the third challenge, or not even the second challenge, I knew you guys were playing it right. Mm-hmm. I knew, like, I wish I was on the blue team. I think I would have been a lot safer.
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, wow, if everybody on my team plays like they're playing, we'll be fine. Mm. Like, don't let Shane get in your ear, Brooke. Don't let CT feel like he's protecting you. Don't. It's not real. It's all fake. It's a facade. And I get that everybody's there for their charity. Mm-hmm. And they all want... I'm working for my charity. You was working for your charity. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, this is charity, but this is a game.
Right.
You need social, mental aspect. Where is it?
Yeah, don't forget that.
Don't forget it.
So we see, like, there are a number of different confrontations. And literally, these things have literally just transpired. So they've just come out now. And so I'm starting to see, we're not always together on the show.
No.
So you're not necessarily up to speed on the conversations that are had when you're not in the room or we're not with the Reds.
No.
So that table discussion that was aired a couple nights ago, where you are sat there and you're having a confrontation with Devin and then Salita's coming at you as well. It's like a star versus a star. I thought you guys were meant to be banding together. What was going on there?
Well, because I mentioned earlier, I had to pull myself and detach myself from our stars because I felt like they weren't playing the game as the blue stars were playing the game, how they needed to play the game.
So why did Salita come for you in that moment?
I think, you know, because I don't know who was talking to her or who let her know that I was running around making deals with everyone. Because the only person I was in their hotel room was with you. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you, you know, most of my things. But I don't know. I think it was the champs really getting into her head saying, oh, he went with this one. He just talked to me about this one. And I really wasn't. But at the end of the day, I was doing what I had to do to make my safety in the game secure.
And what was really interesting is you mentioned deals, but they're really, at this point in the game, there wasn't really any deals to be had.
None.
Quite simply. It was simply just a case of, oh, I see how this is going down. Mm-hmm. It's champs versus stars. So I'm going to align myself with the champs or I'm going to align myself with the stars and I'm going to stick with that. Was there any point where you aligned yourself with the champs?
Well, I had a talk with Devin in the jacuzzi and try to see where his head was at. You know, I had to pull a big brother one-on-one.
Yep.
and give him a little bit of information, just enough so he can give me the right information. But the same way I was trying to play him, he was playing me.
Right.
So we were in the jacuzzi just playing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay,
that was a good jacuzzi scene, to be fair.
My skin looked amazing.
It looked on point.
Glowing.
What had you used that day?
Oh, that was Cicely Paris.
Big up Cicely.
Hello.
Excellent.
But no, you know, it's just the name of the game. It's the name of the game. If you're not here to play, there's no reason you should be on this show.
Mm.
Like, I was there to play. And quite frankly,
mm-hmm.
I have to admit, they can say whatever they want, but I feel like I was still there. So because of me being still there, I was playing the game.
For real.
So I don't care what nobody says. That was a weak player, whatever the case may be, blah, blah, blah. I know how to swim. At the end of the day, I manipulated and stuck my ass there
mm-hmm.
and got out of several eliminations.
Yes, you did. We're going to come to that one very shortly. And so going back to your relationship with Salita, which was extremely tumultuous through this series.
Right.
And I felt like in the beginning, you two were like the best of friends. Mm-hmm. And then that relationship just kind of went, like, took a nosedive. And then you guys got partnered up together. Like, there was so much going on. Like, what happened between you two?
I don't know. I felt like we were like you said, best of friends mm-hmm. in the beginning. And as the game started progressing and, you know, the champs started like getting into the stars' ears on the red side, things started changing. You know, people started hanging with different people, you know, becoming more comfortable. And I started distancing myself because at this point I felt like there was nothing I can do to either persuade mm-hmm. or get into anybody in the star side in the red team's head.
But you had an ally in Little Mama on that side. She was kind of on the same way. Length as you.
She knew what's up.
She was the truth. Little Mama was the truth.
She was the truth. She was a hard ride or die.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew the game from the get-go. Right. That's what I loved about
her. She didn't waver either.
No. She was literally stuck where she made her decision. Respect. She didn't budge nor move. I give 100% respect to her.
For real.
Because even in that last decision between her and Tori.
Yes.
She was like,
none of my babies are going in.
Ever.
Ever. Wicked.
Ever.
So you managed to narrowly swerve a head-to-head against Wes, but I felt like you were up for this battle. Why were you so up for it?
I was ready. I was ready because, you know, I was ready to prove something, one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was ready to wrestle Wes. I mean, who doesn't want to go against someone who is a Challenge alumni, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go with somebody that doesn't have any credibility. If mm-hmm. I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose somebody that has credibility, you know?
So I kind of felt like you were like, look, if given the choice between, like, Wes and Shane.
Right. I want Wes.
For real.
You know, I don't want to battle Shane. Like,
why don't we battle Shane?
I mean, it's just like a girl on girl.
Because he's trash.
well, honey.
like, you know, there were... Talk to me. You're standing up there.
Right.
And 1 minute you think you're going in and Wes has obviously been nominated. We've all nominated and gone against him. And we're like, we're throwing Wes under that bus.
Yeah, right.
And then, what was the power play? Switch. That's right. And I remember you stood up there and you were like, come on, Mike, give it to me. And he was like, what, Jose? He's like, power play. You were waiting for that power play. You knew. I felt like you knew that that just wasn't your destiny. It wasn't your time to go into elimination.
No, I felt that day walking into that that lounge, I just felt that it wasn't meant for me to go up.
Mm.
But even though I went up, it still didn't seem right.
Can you remember a conversation that we had? I feel like before you were going in, like we were going into the nomination room.
In the kitchen?
Yeah. And I just feel like we had a conversation and I'm like, you're going to be all right. And you're like, yeah, I know. I'm like, yeah, you know you're going to be fine, don't you? And you're like, yeah. And I had this inkling that we would get the opportunity to put two of the male stars together. And we did.
Yeah,
Who did we get in?
Damn, who did we put in?
Wes and... Devon.
Oh, that's right. That's yeah. Oh, that was
and
good.
And then they had that elimination of popping tags and stuff like that.
I was on that stand like, Devon, you gotta go. Devon, you gotta go. But Wes, I never would have cheered for Wes any other way and any other time. But that one time I'm like, Wes, whoop that ass.
Yeah.
Whoop that ass, Wes. Because if not, he's gonna try to get me out. Whoop
exactly.
that ass.
Exactly. But you were, I felt like everyone was bashing you for kind of playing your own game. But then I also feel like you were probably one of the most transparent on your team. Because let's put it this way. you were, you know, very kind of vocal about, I'm going to play my own game. It's as simple as that. Whereas the Reds, CT, Kayla, Ashley and Devin, still trying to lie to everybody's face.
Right.
So who's the hypocrite?
I feel like it's them, because at the end of the day, it's like, okay, if you're, like I said, if you're not here to play, I'm not here to babysit anyone. Mm. Yeah, I can give you a little insight on how a game like this kind of goes, but you have to do it on your own and you have to work together to make it work. But if I feel like no one even wants to work together, I'm going to go outside and do my own shit.
Did you feel like there was one person in particular in the Reds team and the champ side that was pushing that issue of we're a team more than others?
I definitely felt that it was like CT and Kayla, and definitely Shane, trying to push this situation that we're a team and then convincing the stars that we're a team. Mm. And then when the teams became teams of two, then like Shane got in Brooke's ear. Yes. Like we're the team. And she just like gave up and just let him
do
run
the
whole show.
Yep.
I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Mm. Brooke, stand up. You did it just as well as he did in the swimming challenge. Mm. Stand up.
Talking about the swimming challenge. So this is the first challenge that we had as a pair. And you and Salita were paired up for this particular challenge. This was, you know, particularly challenging for you. Tell us why.
Growing up, I never actually was taught how to swim. You know, and the one time that I was put into the ocean, my grandmother, it's kind of like a tradition for Puerto Ricans to like just throw your son or daughter in the ocean or in the pool and just let them swim. Mm-hmm. And that just wasn't for me. So she left me in the middle of the rock, in the middle of the ocean in Atlantic City. And she swam back to the shore and was like, or the beach, and was like, oh, come on, swim. And I'm like, I'm on a rock and there's waves hitting me like this. And I'm like, yay big. Oh, I'm like, goodness. No, I'm not coming off this rock.
I'd have died.
It terrified me for the rest of my damn life. Mm-hmm. Like, I was scared, shook me. So for me, you know, when I got older, I just started going into the ocean, but just wetting my waist down.
Yes.
And not going in. And not going in. Mm. And I never was taught. And I never even cared for doing it because I live in New York. Mm-hmm. So there's no need to swim. Like, why am I going to swim for? Mm-hmm. I'm busy doing other things. So doing this challenge, I was like, fuck, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to give up. Yeah. I had the balls to at least jump in.
Yes. Yeah, you know? You did. And I think, you know, whilst there was kind of, you know, a bit of backlash about you not being able to swim, I felt like that was a very brave thing for you to do.
Yeah.
You could have just stood on the sidelines and not even dipped your
toe.
Just
gave up.
Right.
Right?
And but I also felt like, you know, Salita helped carry the team through and performed really well. Because it was tricky for her as well. So I felt like you were both going through it.
But it was beautiful to see when she reached out her hand when I was drowning. All I saw was I put my head up, this like Victoria's Secret supermodel just glowing, and then the hand just like this of an angel. And I'm like,
she was your knight in shining armor.
Come help me. Come help me.
So did your opinion of her change for the better or the worse once you were partnered up?
Yeah. You know, I found what she was trying to do, and her ideals and her strategy of gameplay, and it was really cool. You know, she had a whole different idea of the game, and I mean, I guess we didn't really have that kind of conversation being apart, but being together, we got to understand each other more.
And what was that? What do you think? What was the game that she was playing?
She was playing more of a, you know, she's here to help her charity, and she wants to play a fair game, but at the same time, she wants to be truthful, 100%.
See, the thing about that strikes me about Salita, she's literally no shrinking violet. Like, the things that I love about her is the fact that she's not going to be bossed around by anyone. And as we saw in that kind of first episode, her and Kayla go at it, and then her retreat. She said what she had to say,
and
then she pulled off, and she's just like, no, I'm not going. Do you know what I mean? I said what I had to say. I'm going to just retreat now.
Yeah.
And she has a really good fight in her.
See, but this is the thing. Kayla's a little girl. Salita's a grown woman. There's a big difference between little girl and a grown woman.
Okay.
Little girl doesn't know when to stop. Mm-hmm. Grown woman gives you what she needs to deliver to you, and then will be like, bye, bitch. And
lets you hear it.
And that's it.
And it either sinks or it doesn't, and you just keep
and
it
And that's
moving.
It. There's no reason to waste any more saliva to the situation.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Kayla learned from that? Because I felt like that interaction, you know, she felt like she had to come at it really aggressively.
Right.
And this was, you know, this show is not like the challenge, is
no.
it?
No. Well, I felt that Kayla took the opportunity, I'm going to put it this way, took the other opportunity, because it would never happen in any other scenario, took the opportunity to go against someone who has the image and the, mm-hmm. and who is the person of who she is, mm-hmm. And then Victoria's Secret model and all this stuff, and felt like, okay, I'm about to argue with this bitch now.
So you thinking she's just doing it just to get, yeah. just to boost her profile.
I mean,
she didn't
on.
Really have any real beef. She's just in it just to boost Kayla's profile.
Right. Or then she can say,
and
oh,
get
I cussed
into
out.
Twitter beef.
Right.
And that's her
right.
5 minutes of fame.
Right, right. But
congratulations.
Which ended up backfiring.
You think? Why so?
Because Salida just said, girl, who you talking to?
Mm-hmm.
And they just got together. She got it together. Even though she doesn't, she probably will never admit it. You can tell in her face before yeah. she came up and said, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? She had to take a minute to herself to digest mm-hmm. what just happened because she knew she was wrong.
Yeah. So we end up having to play fucking Flip Cup.
Oh my God, that fucking
elimination. I know. And I was literally saying to Mike, the Miz basically said, Lou, have you played Flip Cup before? And I'm like, yeah. I had zero idea what the fuck I was doing. I didn't play like drinking games. I was too busy running around the track.
Wow.
So talk us through it. We went, I mean, I remember hitting 1, 2, 3 fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. Casper passed the baton on to Casper. Salida got through her 3. But Jose, I felt like you choked, man.
It was, you know, the first one wasn't really the problem. The second one was a little bit of an issue trying to flip it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is the one that gave me the issue.
Mm.
I'm just like, I don't understand why the fucking thing wasn't even flipping. Like, I think I was putting too much pressure and power in my finger.
Yep.
It wasn't flipping just enough. Yep. You know, less is more in that kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started hearing you guys moving further and further away from me, I'm like, oh my God, I have to hurry up. I have to go. I have to go. They're going to win. And then, I don't know, somehow, some way it just flipped and it went through and I was out. And
then you pretty much just bundled Salida into that cup and absolutely tossed the bitch. She didn't know what hit her.
I'm so sorry, Salida, because she hurt her arm. Oh, I mean, her shoulder. She hurt her shoulder, and I felt so bad because I was just tossing, and I was like, oh my God, we had to have communication.
Yeah.
And I mean, the communication just flew out the door because we had to go. We had to be out. We had to catch up.
And I can remember there was a point where I saw CT trying to give you a few tips beforehand. And I noticed that came into play because you were grabbing on the top of the cup and pulling it down and leveraging it. And we used that tactic basically against you.
I know, I saw. I saw, Casper.
Oh, brilliant. I saw. But you came out literally all guns blazing. You had the red lipstick,
yes.
And it was what?
Lady Danger by MAC.
Mine's Lady
yeah!
Danger!
That's the lip I was wearing.
It's my favorite color.
It's a fierce-ass color.
And you had the
war paint
as
That's
well.
Right.
And I just thought this is going to be, he's going to absolutely kill us. Jose is going to kill us today. We need to bring it.
Well, I said, you know, if I'm going to battle this macho Casper, because, you know, he's a little arrogant sometimes.
He can be.
I was like, you know, and I'm doing this for LGBT community, I'm going to do it in red lipstick and a little bit of war paint. I'm gonna stomp him, and if I had red heels, I was stomping in red heels too.
You did. So remind us who the charity that you were playing for.
It was JDRF, which is Juvenile Child Diabetes Foundation.
Yep.
One of my friends from Big Brother 18, Glenn, his daughter, you know, has juvenile child diabetes, and I was doing it for her and him because she really looks up to me like a hero and a cool, like almost like an anime figure. Like, and I love her for that. She's such a cute little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn's one of my closest friends, so I was doing it for them.
Good job, man.
Yeah.
And so that final kind of moments of our elimination when you realized that you guys hadn't done enough, what did that feel like?
It sucked. Knowing that we lost from one flip, like, mm-hmm. I was like, fuck, we almost won. But then again, I thought to myself, I'm like, if we would have won that, would it have been a great move? Because then it would have said, you know, it would have been that you and Casper would have went home.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Casper were kind of the villains. You guys were keeping the champs in check.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if you guys would have went home, it would have went all haywire.
It would have been interesting, I think.
No,
I hadn't even thought about it, actually. And, you know, we got that nickname of the villains. What really strikes me as really funny about the challenges, people say one thing once and that shit sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Shane saying that we were cheating
right.
in the episode that's just gone. I'm like, what are you talking about? Cheating. Like, there's cheating and then there's losing.
Right.
Like, you know, we weren't cheating. We were losing. Like, mm-hmm. I went to, and this is the conversation that went down. I'm going to fill you in a little bit of tea
the
myself.
Tea. The tea.
So, and I can remember us being on that wall challenge. I don't know whether you saw
it.
Exactly.
I don't know how you hung up there, girl.
Yeah, for real. And we were going strong. We could have been up there all day. And I said to Casper, did he say like right foot red or whatever? For some unknown reason, I just felt like I'd missed something and there was right foot red. And we were having a good discussion while we were up there. I said, I'm going right foot red. You stay where you are in case one of us are wrong. So at least we have at least one man or woman still in the game, because we were going out to win that. We'd obviously just gone into elimination. We knew it was important to win. We were going for it.
Right.
And I just felt like, you know, that villains thing. And then, you know, people, you know, saying to you, oh, you're just coming to cut deals. And you're, I think CT might have called you a weasel. And I'm just like, I personally hate name calling. It's absolutely so,
when
hates
they
it.
Do the same thing that we're just giving them own taste of their medicine,
right?
Like, well, you can't take it.
I hate name calling, but they are hypocrites.
Oh my god!
So, looking back at the show, what was your lasting memory?
Ooh, my lasting memory, something fun, evil, what?
Fun.
Fun. Us hanging out. Going mm-hmm. out and, oh, salsa dancing.
Salsa.
Ooh, we tore up that floor.
Oh, my God.
We
and you know
it.
I've been back.
You went.
Oh, my God. I go pretty much every Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Casper's there. I literally just turn up, rock up on my ones. Fernando's there. It's
Fernando.
All good. Fernando.
Little mama Fernando.
We're going to have to get Fernando on the podcast, man. He's such a G. And knowing what you know now, would you have played it differently?
I think I would have played it more stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have tried to play it with more people that were trying to play it like I'm playing it.
Got you. So, I mean, you were split. It wasn't
was
up to you, but
it wasn't,
whatever.
You know, I had no power basically.
And we'll be seeing you again on the challenge.
You shall be seeing me on the challenge Final Reckoning.
Oh, I mean, yes. And it was announced.
It was
so
announced.
So you were on the you're now, you know, you've taken part in the challenge Final Reckoning. It's season 32, is it?
Season 32.
Oh my
Going
God,
strong.
Jose.
I know.
It's going to be fire. I can feel it.
I turn up.
For real.
I turn up.
And talking about turning up, I want to talk about your music career.
Okay, let's do it.
Because you dropped some music whilst we were on the show, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did.
Tell me about that.
So before we filmed Chance vs. Stars, uh-huh. I produced a track called Tony Montana.
Yes.
And this track was my delivery to the music industry, basically introducing myself like, I'm here, I'm about to take everything, and this is who the fuck I am. Understand it, get it, got it, good.
Woo!
And that was my thing. And that's why Tony Montana was perfect, because I don't know if you've seen Scarface.
Uh-huh.
He was this, you know, big personality that walked in, took
and everybody
everything he
knew
wanted,
he was there.
And everybody knew he was there.
For real.
And no one popped off on him.
Mm.
So that's how I wanted the song to feel. Like, I'm here, listen to my jam, but it's the shit.
So what space in the market would you say that you've come to slay?
Well, the thing is that there's a space in the market that hasn't been touched yet.
Which is what?
Which is being the first mainstream gay male rapper.
Mm.
You know, the Cardi B, the Nicki Minaj, the Lil' Kim of the LGBT on mainstream, on the radio.
Sugar.
And doing features with Nicki and Cardi B. I hope that's one of my dreams I get to do. But uh-huh. You know, but there hasn't been that yet. And there has been attempts before mm-hmm. to do that. But the reason they fail mm-hmm. is because even though we're at this point in life where LGBTQ, it's acceptable and everybody's, you know, yay, yay, hurrah, and mm-hmm. everybody's happy with it. You know, we have Pose, we have RuPaul's Drag Race, we have the other show on Viceland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting all this press and publicity, but at the same time, we're missing that one link. Where's the gay artist rapper? Where is that?
Right. So I remember you, me, little mama in my car on our way to go to Macy's or wherever we were going. And we discussed the role and positioning of gay, black, like male, Latino, mm-hmm. and everything in between, brown artists. In your opinion, where are we currently at with homosexuality and hip hop, therefore?
We're at a place in hip hop where the younger generation is now taking over and the more older generation is now more like kind of falling back or like disappearing from the rap game.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting the younger, you know, trap artists, mm-hmm. which is a new version of rap.
So do you feel that the industry is ready?
It's ready.
For a gay artist?
It's 100% ready.
Like a mainstream, mm-hmm. top line male artist.
Yes. And I feel like I'm that guy. I'm Ooh, that guy. I mean, shit. My lyrics are fire, and I feel like I'm that guy. And the reason why the past ones have failed mm-hmm. is because there's only a limit you can do when you're writing your lyrics and trying to make it mainstream. Mm-hmm. You can't talk about, you know, you and a guy's private part and you having fun and whatever with that guy's private part on the radio. It's not going to happen.
So is this influenced what the content that's in your music? And has that been limiting, or is have you circumnavigated that?
I kind of came around it by just, you know, because we say certain words in the gay community that's similar to straight. It's just words, like the word bitch. Mm-hmm. Bitch, for example, can mean guy or girl.
Yep.
In the gay community. Her can mean guy or girl. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to necessarily mean a girl. You know, there's plenty of words that I play on that necessarily mean both mm-hmm. or mean one or the other, but you never will know.
So it's ambiguous.
Right. But you're never going to hear me talking about, like, oh, I'm over here with this guy's private party. Look at me. Hey. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not talking about that because mm-hmm. you have to remember, in the car, there's little kids, there's other stuff. But even though I hope their parents are not showing them the music.
So do you feel as if the like hip hop rap community is not quite ready for that?
They're not ready for that level yet. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't get the free pass just like the straight rappers do when they talk about girls stuff.
Yep.
And which they shouldn't, because that's kind of wrong. But, mm-hmm. you know, they do it in a way.
Why is it wrong?
Because it just kind of puts, and I never understood this. Like, there's songs that are hot, mm-hmm. but then you hear them, you hear the lyrics, and it's like really making the girl seem like a slut mm-hmm. and like a whore. Mm-hmm. But then again, she's in the party, in the club, yeah. like, woo, and this is my jam.
She's in the video.
Yeah,
she's buying the record.
Right, and she's buying the record.
Are we complicit, therefore?
So I don't...
Because we're the ones consuming that music,
That's
right?
why I don't get. That's why I don't understand. I do not get that.
Interesting. I feel like there's a conversation going on at the moment, and I feel like people are starting to almost feel just, I don't know, like... slightly woke, and they're mm-hmm. starting to think about things like, actually, what am I really consuming? What am I really listening to?
Right, right.
Do I really want to play a part in perhaps, you know, the downgrading of women or, right. you know, or the bashing of gay men?
Right.
And I feel like, in fact, I think that one music genre that's probably had, you know, looked at itself is kind of the dancehall movement with regards to that. And I feel like now we are, as a consumer, perhaps starting to pick and choose a little bit more. Whereas before, if it was a hit and it was a banger and it was a fat beat or a fat tune, right. you just go along with it.
You just go along with it. Mm. But now the words are being dissected.
We are more
woke. And they're
woke.
Like, what are you saying?
That's right. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're just waking up. We are woke. And talking of woke, that shirt.
Thank you, darling.
Shit.
Thank you.
If there's
Thank
one you. Thing that... I have to say, every single time we stepped out into the show, you were put together. Like, you were just on point, Jose.
Man, I try to be.
And I fully respect your level of slay, like, when it comes to style. Unreal. Why is style so important to you? Why are you always so lit?
I'm always so lit because I feel like it's a presentation of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will never want to step out of the house looking crazy because you never know who's around. You never know who you're going to meet. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're stepping out of the house in a freaking tank top and some sweats, and all of a sudden you get a phone call, you have to go meet this exec right now to get yep. this deal. What you going to do? You have 5 minutes. What you going to do?
So this is me personally. I'm just going to go to the meeting and be myself. Do you know what I mean? And hope right. that he forgives me for my shabbiness.
No, me, I got to bling when I walk in.
You've got to turn up.
Got to turn up.
And do you feel like it puts you on your, like, the front foot, and it makes you feel good about yourself, and you're ready to then do what it is you need to do? What's the deal?
I feel more polished. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel more comfortable in my own skin when I'm wearing something nice.
Yeah.
Like, I feel polished.
So are we going to be hearing about this in your music or what? I feel like you're going to be talking about all
everything.
Your garms, shoes.
My trips, my shoes, my clothes, my labels.
Yeah, for real. And what about your makeup? So your trade, by trade, you're a makeup artist. That's
yes.
right, isn't it?
So
tell me how you got into it.
I was actually the face of Cicely Paris.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Which they're a great company.
So you put some of that on me during the show,
yes,
didn't
I
you?
Did.
And
yes,
I remember
I
feeling like I transformed.
Yeah,
I felt
yeah.
like I, you know, like literally shaved off a few years.
It was good. It was some good stuff. So anybody who hasn't tried it, go try it, because it's amazing.
Plug.
But I'm no longer the face of them, but we still keep in communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a great run.
Yeah.
You know, I did a lot of commercials for them mm-hmm. and kind of like makeup styles and creations and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And got to fly all over.
Mm.
All over. And who doesn't want a life like that? plain jet setter 24/7.
Oh my
doing
God.
Just what he loves.
And are you still doing that? Are you still active in makeup? Or
no, I kind of put that aside of me and locked it up in the closet. Mm-hmm. It's a chapter that it's been a long time that it had to be put away.
Is it behind you?
Yeah, for now. For now.
Okay, because here's what I want to know. What's the worst? Because there's so much content out there. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make head nor tail of anything. But what's the worst thing you've seen on a makeup tutorial?
Too much highlighter.
Mm.
Too much highlighter and kind of getting the consumer to do the same look in real life.
Got you.
Because actually today I was walking mm-hmm. and getting some coffee from Coffee Bean and yeah, Coffee Bean, good shit. This girl walks out and all of a sudden this gold plaque of like highlighter on the side of her cheek. Oh. And mind you, she's my tone of skin.
Uh-huh.
So all I see is this big highlighted nastiness gunk that you just wipe off like this and throw on the floor. And I'm like,
who's responsible for that?
I have no idea, but whoever's responsible needs to get fired, fined, and sent to court.
You heard it here first. Lock them up.
Lock them up.
Take away her makeup.
No, and then these freaking tutorials that involve like the next step, like the tape, and then the spoon, and then the shoe, and then the hat.
What's that?
I don't know. I'm just saying more things.
There are two things that I remember seeing recently. The nail thing on Instagram and people like...
With the bones or with the people? Or like the nails
there was teeth.
Oh.
Did you see that one?
Yes.
Where someone put...
Yes.
Like and created it to look like there were teeth.
Yes.
That was a hot mess. And then there was another one. What's with the squiggly eyebrows?
I have no idea. I mean, that's great editorial. Don't get me wrong. It's great for editorial, but it's not good for real life. Who the fuck is going to walk around with squiggly eyebrows?
For real?
What day are you going on, bitch?
Look like two caterpillars just
Hello?
Pulled up.
Surf and turf.
Oh, silly. Right. Talk to me about what makeup trend you would never recommend for anybody ever.
I will never recommend... First of all, the superb highlighting,
mm-hmm.
like no.
Yeah.
And I will never recommend doing this whole middle lip thing,
which
with
is
like
what?
A different color. It's like a highlighted lip part in the middle,
uh-huh.
and then the rest of the lip is something else.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't do that shit either.
Okay. So talk me through my makeup choices today, because I literally did it like, you know, just
your makeup is quite simplistic.
Be honest.
It looks beautiful.
Thanks,
it's very
darling.
Simple.
Yep.
Clean.
Yeah.
Your skin palette looks like your actual body of your skin.
Oh, that's
so
good.
You all look the same color.
Oh, that's good.
Because this is the problem too. Most women they get a foundation.
Uh-huh.
They put it on, and 9 times out of 10, the color from the chin down to the neck does not match.
Right.
So then they're blending with the bronzer and the blush and all this other stuff. Now you're even darker than what you already put on. Now you're looking crazier.
Mm.
Or you're lighter because you're darker.
For real.
So, you know, I feel like people really need to learn how to blend and pick the right shade of tone of color for their skin.
What's going on with my eyebrows today?
Your eyebrows are actually very nicely arched.
Oh, thank you.
And the highlight under them look really nice.
Oh, bless you. You noticed. I feel like someone said to me recently that eyebrows should not be twins. They should be sisters.
Sisters, yes. Now, the thing is...
What does that mean?
Well, we're all born with one side being slightly different than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even like how you have your brow here that's like this, my brow like that is here.
You see? It's not the same. Yeah.
But it makes you you. It gives you character. If you're
Got
too
you.
Perfect,
yes.
if you're too matchy-matchy,
yeah.
it becomes boring.
Then everyone goes around looking the same.
The world is not perfect.
That's right. Everyone just ends up looking
And you know
like
everybody
one
has
person.
One bigger foot than the other.
No.
Yeah, slightly by
Well,
by inches.
Actually, I do because I know that I've got like one jammed up toe. One always gets jacked up. Do you know what I mean? Like if I'm hiking or whatever, or just in heels, it's just that one hammer toe that just wants to be an absolute rogue.
Mine is my left.
Oh, what a hot mess. So no plans to go back into makeup.
Not at the moment, but I definitely, after all these other things that I'm doing and all these other projects, mm-hmm. once everything is done and finished, I would say within another year or so, or probably sooner, I do want to launch my own.
Because it's big business.
Yeah, my own makeup brand. And I know a lot about it to do it, you know, mm-hmm. and color, textures, tone, feeling, dewiness, softness, all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a makeup artist or a makeup architect.
Right.
To learn how to actually create a brand that's going to be super successful. And not
I like that because an architect builds.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Right. Our next part of the show is called All That and a Bag of Lies.
Ah!
Yes. Let's get so, yes! I don't have any limes, but I do have a pochette.
By the way, when you turned to Ashley and Kayla and you said, can I have two limes on the glass, please? I was like, wait a minute.
They didn't know what to hit them. Ugh. Okay, this is my little pochette, which I'm now using. There is paper in there.
It's really cute.
Thank you. It's from Liberty of London, plug. and you're going to reach inside my little English pochette and you're going to pull out a name or a piece of paper, and on it it's going to say something. You're going to read it out loud, and then I'm going to help you if you don't understand what it says. In we go.
Oh my God.
What does it say?
CT.
Spill the tea. What was your, like, what was your impression of him? Spill the tea. How did you find him on Champs vs. Stars season 3?
CT is like a father figure. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I felt like, you know, oh, it's cool. You know, I'm working with CT. You know, I've been watching him since I was a little kid. So for me, it was like he was like a father figure. But then getting more deeper into the show, he started becoming this like evil, I don't know, this evil Santa Claus person, just like trying to like damage the whole team and like get me out and calling me the cancer of the group and all this other stuff, and which he later on apologized for,
right?
And
I remember that.
Yeah, that was crazy. And then you know, I feel like he gets hot-headed sometimes, and he has a very short temper, so when he feels like he's like up against the wall or there nothing's going his way, the short fuse blows up, and he blows up right at your face. But deep down, he's a sweetheart and a big teddy bear, which I ended up loving about him.
Yeah, I think that he's definitely a very good blend of like hothead,
yes,
and softy.
Yes.
And it's just a case of what side you're on, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, deep into my pochette. Lord.
See my wizard powers.
Get in. There might be chewing gum in there.
Selita,
yes. Go for it. Where's your relationship at now?
Me and Selita are really good right now. She and I talk here and there.
Mm-hmm.
We follow on social. We keep in touch. She actually sent me a birthday card to my apartment.
Oh, happy birthday, Jose.
With some kissy lips. Thank you, Selita.
Aww.
And, you know, and I feel like she's a great, awesome person.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely am grateful to have a person like her in my life.
Yeah, she's got a big heart.
She's fabulous.
I feel like she really cares for her friends.
Yes, she does.
Get in.
Oh, Lord. This one feels weird.
Oh, let's see who it is.
Yeah.
That's why it feels
my wizard
weird.
Powers.
What is it? Shane. Oh, my God. Shane the Snake. Spill.
Shane. Shane, for me, is a character that I felt that I, in the beginning, could work with.
Uh-huh.
But then when I started seeing his little slithery ways,
mm-hmm.
I was like, no, bitch, you're not about to get me. Mm-hmm. I'm about to get you before you get me. And then being the only two gay people in the show, you will think that, you know, we'll work together, we'll partner up, which was the plan from the get-go. But he just wanted to work with his champs and not work with me. So it was like, okay, bitch, you wanna be a backstabber? Okay, let's backstab.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he does what he can do to get where he needs to get to, which is not a problem because I do the same thing too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he could take a little heat when it comes to another gay person being on the show.
Oh, shots fired, Jose. So you feel like he wants to be like
the only one.
Mm.
But unfortunate, it's not the issue.
For real. For real. For real. He's just going to have to like that and lump
it. Suck it up and take it, bitch.
So, I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of rivalry there. I mean, let's put it this way. Like, you know, given, because the thing is, this is the thing about the show. It's highly competitive when you're in the show, but it's highly competitive to get on the show.
Right.
So, do you feel that he was threatened by you?
Well, come on. I'm young. I'm beautiful.
Yes, you are. You're
I'm a Linda Evangelista.
Oh, see. See, papi.
And someone with this much sauce and this much flavor coming in is just like, wow. You know, if you're a dry something and you don't have any sauce to wet in your noodles.
No sauce.
No sauce. I don't know what to tell you, but I was dripping.
He's
you know?
A dry ass hot dog. No sauce.
I was dripping and he couldn't take my spaghetti, honey.
Oh my God. Shots fired.
Woo, who's the next victim? Hold on.
That's so funny. That's cracked me up.
Yeah, this one feels strange too. Whoa.
What does it say?
Fuck, marry, kill.
Yes. Who have we got?
We have Shane, Toadie, and Casper.
Boom. Go for it.
Oh, I'm going to get chewed up for this one. I would fuck Tony.
Boom. Well done, Tony. Good job.
I would marry Casper.
Really?
Yeah, because I wouldn't marry Shane. I couldn't see myself marrying Shane.
I'd go for that.
Out of the option with the two?
Yeah, I
would marry Casper.
Yeah.
Casper's a businessman.
Yeah, Casper would hold you down.
Yeah.
He'd hold you down.
And I'll kill Shane.
Oh, for real?
With a chainsaw. Bam. Bam.
Oh, my God. He's coming for you. He's coming for you.
Oh, Brooke.
Yay.
Love her. She's like a fairy godmother.
Completely.
Very tall, Amazonian princess.
Mm.
Blonde ambition. Like, she's she definitely is like this force to be reckoned with. Mm. And she's someone who, she believes strongly in her power, but sometimes she doubts herself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always tell her, I'm like, Brooke, you are amazing. You are a tall glass of milk.
Mm.
You're amazing. Take that and run with it. You can knock mostly any girl down,
mm-hmm.
or any guy.
Mm.
You are strong.
You heard it here first.
Like, she's beautiful.
Yeah. And I feel like she has, I don't know, there's something about Brooke that is deeply kind of spiritual.
Yes.
And I feel like actually she, a lot of the times, while she didn't necessarily want to get involved politically, she was almost there to keep the calm.
Right.
And she was almost like the calm that we all needed at certain points.
Right. I agree. She was definitely like Mother Hen.
Mm, definitely.
Like calming everybody down from arguing and fighting.
Yeah.
She's definitely a great spirit.
I'll go with that. Go for it. Dans ma pochette.
Pochette.
So this is most underrated and most overrated player on the challenge.
Most overrated player.
Go for it.
Wes.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I was not expecting that. Why so?
And I say overrated because I feel like he is a great player.
But we tore him to pieces.
And at the same time, you know, he blows his head up when he thinks he's actually moving things along and kind of manipulating people when you're really not.
Right.
And I seen the show, he tried to think that he was manipulating you and he wasn't.
Yeah.
You were actually manipulating him.
Yeah.
Hello.
And it's, you know, there are those bits in the show whereby one minute you're in control, one minute you're out of control. But what you actually keep is your humility.
Right.
Got ya.
And you were the one actually playing puppet master. It wasn't him.
Well.
So, come on, assassin.
Mm-hmm.
He gonna learn today, honey.
Okay.
Eh.
Let me have a look.
Kill Kim K?
So, kill one. Kim Kardashian beauty products or Fenty beauty products. You can only have one.
Kill Kim Kardashian beauty products.
Why so?
Because I feel it's more gimmicky and it's just like a commercial thing. And, you know, she's probably doing it because her sister has a really successful brand. And, you know, even though they had makeup brand in the beginning before her sister did, I feel like her sister took it to another level and kind of was super successful at it. Now she wants to bank off her sister and make some more money too.
Yeah,
which she doesn't need it, but you know, and I feel like Fenty Beauty is something true to Rihanna and really deep in Rihanna's family that you know, it means a lot to her and her family and especially her father.
I'm wearing Fenty Beauty now. Plug. I can't get enough of it.
Have
you used it?
Well, I have it. I only use it when I do red carpet.
The primer.
Yes.
Like the foundation. What shade are you? I feel like we'd be the same shade. I'm a 280, I think.
Something around there.
Yeah.
I might have them all, but I think something around there.
Mm-hmm.
But I use the highlighter, Kilowatt. Kilowatt.
Mm-hmm.
Kilowatt.
Mm-hmm. if you don't know, get to know.
Get to know and go pick up at near Sephora near you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Plug. Oh, I knew she was coming up. I knew it was somewhere in there.
Who
somewhere.
Is it?
Kayla.
Oh, shit.
I knew it was in there somewhere.
Oh, shit.
Fuck. Okay.
Spill that tea, Joe.
Kayla. Thing. She is an overrated player. She is someone that people just talk up for no freaking reason. She has a lot of mouth and sometimes she can back it up, but most of the time she can't. And when she pops off when she has her group around her. When her allies are not around her, she can't pop off anymore. She has no allies. Who are you going to pop off with?
You know what? I noticed the same thing. I felt like, and in the show, once Ashley was gone, we didn't really hear too much out of her after
her mouth was shut.
Yeah, it really changed. I kind of felt like it kind of disarmed her.
Right, right.
Completely disarmed her.
Right.
And FYI, that's exactly what I was kind of trying to go.
Yeah.
Just destabilize it.
Why not? And then I feel like, you know, she and I did not really get along in the show because, in Champs, because me and her just butt heads. Like, since the beginning, we just didn't agree with anything. Like, she's one of those people that try to downgrade you and make you feel like you're nothing, you're beneath her, and boost herself up. But at the end of the day, I've been doing things way before you have.
Right.
So I think I'm more established than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's no need to talk to people that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I'm glad that Salida kind of like gave her her moment, because she needed to be put in her place and know that you can't just talk to people like that. And like,
totally. And I kind of feel like it's not even about that. It's not even about always, you know, having to come out on top, or one person be better or worse or whatever. I just feel like this is a person who's got a lot to learn about life.
Lot to learn.
She's young. I think she'll get there. Is that it? Or is that my chewing gum?
I don't know.
It's starting to get very minty fresh in there. Minty fresh in my little pocket.
Kill one. Lipstick or concealer?
Exactly.
Damn, that's
I know.
Good.
I know.
That's good. Why are you going to put me in that predicament?
I know.
That's good. Woo! I wore lipstick, so I can't kill my lipstick.
But come on, though. I mean, like, could you kill concealer forever?
Yeah, because some people have a lot of dark under eye circles.
And I do. I would need the concealer.
Can we save them both?
No. Kill one. That's the whole point of the question.
Oh, I would.
For you.
For me. I mean, I use a lot of, like, creams under my eyes, so I feel like my eyes are good.
Mm-hmm.
I would kill concealer.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't personally.
Personally, I would keep concealer and I would wear the concealer on my fucking lips.
Work.
So, Jose, a little birdie tells me you're in love. Tell me about the lucky man. What's his name, first of all?
Jonathan Fernandez.
Yes.
He's actually on Love & Hip Hop New York.
I hear he's popping.
Yeah, he's pop, pop, pop right now.
Woo!
He's a hot commodity at the moment.
Oh, shit.
We met over a slitting in a DM.
On what social media app?
Instagram.
Okay. Like I said, it always goes down on Instagram.
It always goes down on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, because we're in the same kind of circle, we both live in New York, and we're in the entertainment world, and VH1 and MTV are not that far apart.
Right.
You know, it was bound to happen one day.
It's family.
It's family. It was bound to happen one day. And I feel like it was so organic and natural.
Did you know of him before then?
I know him before. We, you know, just hung out like friends and stuff like that. And we just kicked it. And I guess, you know, we DM'd on like October, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And in February, we kind of made it like somewhat official.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, we're still learning to go to learning about each other.
So wait, take me back. You DM'd each other.
Yeah.
And then what happened after that?
We DM'd each other. We went out on a date to Dave & Buster's, which was really fun.
What's Dave & Buster's?
It's like an arcade kind of place where you can play our games and also eat food and have fun. I thought it was cute because I'm a big kid. He's a big kid. So it's like, you know, we both like cartoons and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we went to a movie. We saw a movie. It was a really cute romantic
date.
I don't remember, actually.
Oh, my God.
It was
so
too good. I was too into it.
Clearly. You weren't watching the movie at all.
But, you know, even though we're getting to know each other and learn each other now, I still think there's still processing and steps that we have to take, because I had relationships before, which I'm not going to mention who, but I had relationships before where, you know, jumped right into it and eventually didn't work out.
So you're taking your time?
Step by step. We're getting to know each other and being together, but still learning. Because he's busy, I'm busy, so I'm handling my stuff, he's handling his
stuff. How do you guys stay in touch? Like, if you're constantly doing your own thing?
So we actually was on FaceTime actually yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, not FaceTime, Instagram Live.
Mm-hmm.
It was popping. The live was lit.
Oh.
The fans were in there. It was lit,
And
lit,
what, you
lit.
Just let them into your whole conversation?
Let them into our own conversation. It was so organic. He was saying that, you know, I pee in pools and stuff, which I don't. I don't, by the way. It was just playing.
I think we all do.
And, you know, it just found that people found it really, really nice and refreshing to see a couple kind of like be normal, you know, and interact with them, because we took questions, one-on-ones, and it was really, really cool, really cute.
Oh.
It was 2-hour live.
What was 2 hours?
Yes.
Damn.
It was a long live.
what was the most salacious question that was asked? Like, what was the like rudest thing someone come up with?
Who's the top and the bottom?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know,
the answer?
We answered it. I'm the top.
Okay.
And he's the bottom.
Okay.
I mean, hello. I mean, hey, you know, the answer I asked.
Exactly.
Said, you know?
Exactly. Tell it as it is, Jose. And so what's the next plan for you two? Are you going, what's, you know, holidays? What's going on this summer?
Well, his birthday's coming up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I can make it there because I'm actually handling... Well, I don't know if I can because I'm already like booked on this stuff here.
I'll go.
And
I'll go in your place. Give me a shirt. I'll do it.
But what I did tell him is this. I said, even though I probably can't make it on the 12th, I said on the 14th, because you're going to have a little party. I said on the 14th, then I'll do something for you.
Oh.
I'm coming back on the 14th. So it's only 2 days after. I'll come see you on the 14th and I'll do something for you on the 14th.
Yep.
And I don't think that's a problem. You know?
So I think with relationships, dates and stuff, and by dates, I mean like Valentine's Day,
right,
birthdays. I feel like all of that, we feel like we're almost a prisoner to.
Yeah,
I'm like, Valentine's Day is any damn day I decide
any
it is. It doesn't have
day.
To be the 14th of February
right.
every single year. If I'm busy, I'm busy.
Right.
If it's this weekend and I decide it's this weekend, you better turn up. You better
right.
be ready.
Well, what was like bothering me was like he was saying that his birthday's on the 12th, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, your birthday's on the 12th, and what? My birthday's every single day of the week. Monday, mm-hmm. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When it's my birthday weekend, it's my birthday
I love it. Like, I've never celebrated like that. I'm one of those people that just like, yeah, my birthday's... I don't even tell people my birthday's coming up. I'm just not that bothered about it. And more importantly, like numerous times on my birthday, I'm like, I'm going to book myself into a hotel. I'm going to book myself a holiday on my own.
Right. Just
I'm
do something.
Such a hermit.
But I also feel like in relationships, people become too attached and it's very unhealthy for the relationship because it's like, I like to live in a relationship where it's basically like you handle your thing, I handle my thing. Mm-hmm. We see each other when we see each other, but mostly we make sure we have time for each other, but we're not all in each other's faces 24/7.
There's a certain element
it
of autonomy. Yeah.
You know,
got
but
it.
Me and him are handling it very well.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his thing. I'm doing my thing. We're both booked and busy.
Yay.
And blessed.
Yes.
And that's the way you have to be, you know, mm-hmm. to be a successful relationship.
I'm so happy for you guys.
Oh, thank you.
So happy.
Thank you, Louise.
Jose, I just want to ask you one final question.
Yes.
What lesson do you feel you were put on this earth to deliver?
I feel like I was put on this earth to deliver compassion,
mm-hmm.
to deliver talent,
mm-hmm.
and give a little bit of myself to millions and millions and millions of people that want to inspire
mm-hmm.
and learn and want to become what people like me and you are doing. You know, and it's not only about being on reality TV. It's not only about having your spotlight, your moment. It's about getting that moment where you can shine enough that someone can get a spark at home and be mm-hmm. like, wow, I want to be that when I grow up.
Mm. And how would you, what would be your lasting words for those people that are out there looking to be you or looking to be me?
When everyone keeps on saying no, there's always going to be one yes. Mm. Keep pushing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jose, thank you so much for coming
pleasure.
On Slow
My
Sunday.
Pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure. You lit it up.
Slayed. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I had an amazing time. And I love Louise. She's fabulous.